Hi, I'm Whitney Lee, founder of Socially PR and Digital Media, and for over a decade, I've been creating and executing marketing and PR plans for businesses all over the U.S. I'm obsessed with helping entrepreneurs bring their big ideas to life and, most importantly, boost their bottom line. The Socially Relevant Podcast is a resource to give you clarity, ideas, and inspiration that you can actually apply to marketing your business. So you won't find any overwhelming tech talk here. We're breaking down all the details in a way that's fun and easy to understand, giving you tangible ways to take action. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey everyone, welcome back for another episode. Today is a very special episode because it is our very first interview. I am excited to bring on a social and paid search expert, my girl, Dorothy Hollibaugh from Needle's Eye Media. Welcome, Dorothy, to the show.
Whitney, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I almost butchered your new last name because I'm not the best at that.
I know. I went from an easy last name to one that I'll be pronouncing for people for the rest of my life. So I'll get used to it.
Well, for anyone out there that's listening, Dorothy and I met through a mastermind last year. We hit it off. We've been friends ever since. And we love talking social and paid ads because obviously in our agency, we do a little bit of that, but Dorothy is an expert in this field. So Dorothy, tell us a little bit about Needle's Eye Media.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started back in 2017. So, you know, very brief history of kind of what got me there. I worked at a startup where I was their third employee. You know, they were starting at ground zero when I joined, and we scaled that company to 10 million in annual revenue in about 3 years. And that was almost entirely off the back of Facebook ads. And so it was really, you know, a powerful experience at seeing, you know, what paid traffic could do and really the leverage that it can provide, you know, for a business when you do have, you know, things dialed in. That company ultimately went on to keep growing. They sold in like a 9-figure exit. So it was really cool to, you know, kind of see that from the ground floor. And so when I left that, that job in 2017, that was when I decided to start the agency and help businesses to do the same. So I started with, you know, Facebook ads specifically. You know, in the 5 years since, we've expanded out and we do Google, YouTube search display. You know, we've done Pinterest, LinkedIn, Snapchat. We're doing TikTok now. So we really, you know, kind of cover the board in terms of paid traffic.
Very cool. So who's like your ideal client?
Yeah. So a lot of our clients, most of our clients are in the digital product space. So we tend to work with a lot of, you know, a lot of course creators, a lot of people selling high ticket, you know, coaching, masterminds, services, high ticket lead gen. And then a couple other buckets, we work with some SaaS. We have a couple of B2B SaaS clients. You know, actually with, one big change in our business was I brought on a, COO and head of performance at the end of last year, and he kind of cut his teeth on $1 million a month e-com accounts. Now we're starting to open the doors to some of those too. So, you know, really for us, the big focus is on data-driven businesses that are looking to scale. So, you know, I come from a finance and accounting background before I took a hard left turn into marketing. So I'm very much a, you know, numbers person. You know, it's not about opinions of what should work. It's about, you know, what is the data telling you to do? So I think like with running paid traffic, it's this never ending process of, you know, go to the traffic store, if you will. Molly Pittman uses that analogy and I love it. You know, buy some data and then use that data to identify, you know, where are the holes? Where are you losing people? Is it on the, you know, traffic side? Is your click-through rate low? You know, are you not being effective in getting people into your funnel? Or is it, you know, somewhere in that process after the click, you know, where things are broken? And then, you know, you optimize, plug the holes and start the process all over again.
That's awesome. So it's really like you're, you're more than just like doing ads for them. It's almost like you're troubleshooting the entire buying process. Cause if they're getting, you know, you can bring all the people to the site that you want, but like if they're not buying, then there might be something deeper they need to look at.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely the thing that I'm most proud of in the business is that, we measure our retention years, not months. You know, we have clients that have been with me since I opened the doors in 2017. And I do think that the reason for that is because of how deep we go on strategy throughout the you know, buying cycle. Because I think for a lot of agencies, you know, it's like the mindset is, all right, we run traffic. That's our side of things. What happens after that click is your problem. And if that's the mindset, then you might be phenomenal at running traffic. But if you can't help your client to effectively convert that traffic, then they're not going to stay with you because they're not going to make money. And so, you know, I think in order to really, you know, be successful as a paid traffic agency and keep clients for a long time and get them results, you have to be, you know, willing and able to go into strategy on the funnel side of things to make that happen.
Oh my gosh, we had a client almost exactly like this years ago that we had set up some social ads for her, and she had an athletic line, like a athleisure clothing line. And we were getting tons and tons of click and not a single purchase. Yeah. So finally we dug in and we were like, hey, you know, like we looked at other people in the market, like other brands that were similar, and we found a product exactly like hers that was literally like 25% of the cost on Amazon. And we were like, this might be why no one's buying, because the exact same thing is over here on Amazon for a quarter of the price.
Right.
So, but that's so awesome that y'all like, it's almost like a full strategy partnership rather than like, here, we'll set up these ads for you. Like you said, like they click through and that's your problem going forward. But
yeah, that's definitely how our clients tend to look at us. You know, we're more of their, you know, partners in marketing than we are just their media buyers.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So I did an episode a couple of weeks ago that was about Facebook, Instagram ads specifically, but it was like super, super 101. Like, you know, for people maybe who have never, ever set one up, it was teaching people to stop boosting stuff.
Yeah. I listened to that episode and I agree with everything that you said about boosting.
It's a trap. It's a freaking trap. That's their way to dangle a little carrot and get some money out of you.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it serves a purpose for the people who, you know, aren't ever going to go into Ads Manager, but yeah, it's definitely not the ideal route.
Yeah. You're like missing out on so much opportunity. Mm-hmm. So we also did an episode about the objectives on Facebook. But it was so 101 that that's why I thought I was like, I should have Dorothy on the show and let her dive in and do an episode that is like more for the experienced marketers out there or people in business that speak this language enough, like have an interest in it, to where we're having a conversation that's not so 101, that we're kind of like feeding the souls of people that know enough and they really want to dig in. So I know you had some thoughts on, after listening to my episode about more objectives and sharing your perspective on it, you know, tell me what you know about all, you know, selecting objectives.
Yeah, 100%. So I think what's important to understand first, before we talk about specific objectives, is how things are working for Facebook internally. So, you know, essentially what happens is Facebook they put a score on everything. You as an advertiser, your page, your ad account, all of these have like, you know, essentially these like internal scores with Facebook that determines like quality, right? And, you know, how they're judging, you know, you as a page, you know, your ad account and compliance, you know, are you doing things right? You know, and are you a risk for Facebook? You know, all of those things. But what a lot of people don't really understand is that Facebook also is scoring, you know, the actual users on the platform in terms of their quality and their behaviors. So Facebook has all of this data about, you know, what people do on the platform. You know, do they, you know, is this the 80-year-old, you know, grandmother who's liking every single post and every single page that shows up in her feed? You know, is it someone who, you know, opts into things all the time, maybe someone who, you know, clicks on ads, but never buys. And then there's the people who buy things off of Facebook ads all the time. And so when you understand that first as your foundation, and then you look at it through the lens of what does Facebook care about? So obviously Facebook is a self-serving, you know, entity, just like, you know, all of the social media platforms. And so they're really looking at this as how can they extract the, you know, highest amount of dollars from their user base and from their advertisers. You know, that's obviously how they do that, right? So they want to, you know, put the buyers, you know, the people who purchase things off of Facebook ads, who opt in, you know, who convert, they want to, you know, give that traffic to the advertisers that they're going to make the most money off of. And so if we think about that and then look at the options for campaign objectives, it naturally makes sense that the campaign objective that you're going to use when your goal is to get someone to purchase is going to be that conversion objective. And then, you know, when you have the conversion objective, you know, you're specifying at the ad set level, you know, which specific conversion you want to optimize to. And, you know, what you'll see is that, you know, when you use objectives like video views or traffic or engagement, you're going to get really, really cheap impressions. So CPMs, cost per 1,000 impressions, that's basically, you know, that's your cost to get in front of people in the newsfeed. And with the conversion objective, your CPMs are going to be higher than any other objective. It's, you know, the most expensive traffic, but that's where Facebook's putting all the buyers, yeah. Right? You know, it's the most expensive traffic because it is the most quality traffic.
What would you say is like a good cost per buyer for a conversion ad?
Oh, it's an impossible to answer question because it completely depends on the product and the audiences. And
yeah, I guess the price of the product and everything.
I mean, if we look at, so we have a lot of clients that run webinars and typically we are optimizing for conversions with the specific conversion being like lead or complete registration to register for the webinar. We have certain clients where their webinar leads cost $3. We have clients where they cost $17 and it's all because of, you know, what different, you know, audiences you're trying to target and how competitive those auctions are. So yeah. There really isn't any blanket, you know, in terms of CPL and CPA, your, you know, cost per acquisition, it's impossible to give, you know, kind of a baseline because, you know, it completely depends. But yeah, you know, I would say in terms of objectives, we're using the conversion objective, you know, for our clients, we're using that 90 to 95% of the time. And that other 5 to 10%, I can definitely go into, you know, what objectives, you know, we also use and kind of when, but for most people, conversion objective is where you want to be if you're looking to get leads, buyers, you know, customers.
So for the conversion, objective, do you have to have like a link that follows the buyer all the way through to their cart?
So you should have the, you know, you should have your pixel firing on every page of the website, mm-hmm. Right? And so, so what, you know, what we're doing post iOS 14, you obviously had a big impact on tracking. Mm-hmm. So now there are really two ways that you need to set up tracking. The first is pixel events, which fire in the browser. And then the second way is what's called conversion API, which was, you know, essentially Facebook's answer to iOS 14. And conversion API is a way that you can set up your events to fire from a server. So it's server to server communication, which is going to allow you to, you know, more accurately track, you know, when there's people opting out, you know, via Apple. So, and that's getting into the weeds a little bit, but to answer your question directly, like what we do is, you know, we have the pixels and, you know, conversion API firing throughout the funnel. So we're firing events on page view on, for us, it's typically, you know, lead or complete registration, initiate checkout and purchase.
Interesting. So that's what a pixel event is. It's measuring each one of those steps.
Yeah. So a pixel event can be anything you want it to be. So there are the standard events of, you know, lead, add to cart, initiate checkout, you know, purchase, schedule a call, you know, application. And then, but you can also create custom events. But for most people, the standard events are pretty much what they need.
How do you set up a pixel event?
Well, that's probably a whole other podcast episode. What I would say. So for us, like we have, actually I can give them a shout out. So we use a company called MeasureBit. They're our partner for all things tracking, have been for 5 years. They're absolutely phenomenal. So for our clients, you know, they're setting things up through Google Tag Manager, which is, you know, really the way to kind of the most sophisticated way to set up events and make sure that you're capturing as much as possible. If you don't have access to a development team or, you know, to hire someone like MeasureBit to help you with your tracking, the best thing to do is, you know, you can use Facebook's built-in event setup tools. They have kind of plug and play tools to help you set up, you know, pixel events and conversion API. So if you go into Events Manager within Facebook, within your Facebook Business Manager, you can use those built-in tools if you're doing it on your own.
Interesting. Awesome. We use a lot of traffic objectives for our clients. When would traffic be the best?
So I would say we very rarely use traffic campaigns. The time when we do use them is if, for whatever reason, it's not possible to fire conversion events. So typically, I mean, if you're sending traffic to your own website, it's exceptionally rare that you ever just want traffic. You know, you typically want traffic to take a certain action. So optimizing for that action is best in the vast majority of cases. But like if we're sending traffic like to an Amazon page or to, you know, to basically like some website other than what that the client doesn't own and we therefore can't fire conversion events on, like maybe you're sending traffic to Eventbrite or something, you know, usually you want to send traffic to your landing page first to create that bridge. But there are certain scenarios where for one reason or another, we're not doing that. And in which case, you know, we might run a traffic campaign, but it is very rare. You know, I would say outside of the conversion objective, the objectives that we are using most frequently would be video views, messages, and then occasionally the lead objective, which I know you talked about in your episode. And, you know, I agreed with everything you said in terms of quality, absolutely will go down with like on basically on platform lead generation. So where people are, you know, filling out that form inside of the newsfeed, they're never leaving Facebook. That is going to be a lower quality lead. The one caveat I'd give is that, the place where it does often make sense is for local businesses. And so, you know, if you're like, if you're a roofer or if you're, you know, if you're generating leads, like for, you know, for a local business, often that can be a good route. You just need to make sure you're following up with those leads. Like, I mean, within 30 minutes or less, ideally, or they'll completely forget what they did.
No, that's really, really good feedback. If you're trying to get somebody to sign up for your email blast list, would you still put that under conversion?
100%.
And just do it underneath, like put a pixel event for the, like whatever landing page you send.
For the opt-in page.
Interesting. Very cool. That's awesome. See, everybody's got a different perspective on objectives. So
that's the other thing I'll say too. It's certainly not that like traffic campaigns are like wrong. This is just what we do. So I think, and I think that's a lesson here too, you know, with paid traffic, there are so many different perspectives and ways to look at it and ways that you can operate. And none of them are right or wrong. Like what you guys, I mean, I know what you guys do at your agency. You guys are freaking phenomenal. Like the results you get for clients are out of this world. And so, you know, we work with a very different type of client, like I think is a big piece of this. So, you know, with the types of clients that we're working with, like conversions usually make more sense. But with the clients that you're working with, like often that's not necessarily the case and traffic would make more sense. We just don't typically like operate in those industries.
Yeah. Sometimes we'll do a we'll do a traffic ad and then pull the pixel and do a retarget that pixel.
Amazing. Yeah.
With a conversion ad. Cause to me, then it like narrows the field a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's what I've just seen in my time is like, it narrows the field a little bit. So that cost per lead isn't so, so expensive. At least in my mind, we've like narrowed it down to where they're like a warm lead. I don't know.
Yeah.
And lost.
That's so a great thing to do.
Yeah.
I think you're spot on, Whitney. Like if you are going to run traffic campaigns, it's like, just retarget those people, you know, and bring them back for a second bite at the apple. So, and that's actually what we often do with video view campaigns. So we'll run top of the funnel video view campaigns and then retarget people who watched the video with conversion ads.
Yep. I tell my clients all the time, like they want to go so hard and heavy on sales. And I'm like, wait a minute. I feel like marketing is like, or getting people to buy something is like dating and marriage. Like you can't just propose to somebody on the day you meet them. How creepy, you know what I mean? Like you got to like take them out to eat. You got to get to know them. You got to find out like what they're looking for. What are their pain points? What's, you know, what are they looking for in a relationship? And then over time you date them into the buy, you know? So then you ask them to marry you, you ask them to buy you, to buy into your product or business. So It's a little bit of a longer play, but I mean, if you can get them to buy straight out of the gate.
Well, to clarify, it's not necessarily that you're expecting them or like getting them to buy right out of the gate. It's really more about that traffic quality piece that I was talking about. Because the one, like, you know, I would recommend, you know, even if you are running some traffic ads and retargeting those people, also running conversion ads at the top of the funnel. Because again, like the people in that, like Facebook is going to put the highest quality traffic in the conversion objective, because that's where they're making the most money off of showing ads to those people. So if you're only running traffic campaigns at the top of the funnel and just retargeting those people, then those are like, you're only getting the people that Facebook is putting in that traffic campaign bucket. Yep. And you're never going to touch that super high quality traffic that's in the conversion objective.
Yep. The people that are actually buying. It makes so much sense. See, people, this is why I invite experts onto the show. Like, you never stop learning. I tell my team this all the time. Like, I'm not the god of marketing. You know what I mean? Like, I've been doing this 12 or 13 years, but I literally learn something new every single day. So, and also with the rate that this stuff is changing, I logged into Business Manager yesterday and I already saw new features that I'm just like, where did this come from? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, a continual learner. I know that a big piece of it is your creative. I mean, obviously, I think that's important of the messaging and the image or the video that you're using. What do you think about creative? Like, do you have any tips on like best strategy of what your creative needs to include?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked, because this is absolutely critical. And, you know, I think people often, they often actually make it too hard, because, you know, they're so focused on like, oh, I have to have this super high production video ad or, you know, whatever. And that's really not the case. Authenticity is going to win out over production value every single time. So I can kind of talk about this in two parts, like images and video. Because when we're starting with a new client, or, you know, say some, like someone who doesn't have a lot of, you know, testing or, you know, historical data, we typically start with images because we want to test the messaging with ad copy. And so when you're testing copy and really trying to dial in on the messaging that's going to work, if you're also introducing video, that's such a huge wild card variable that it's going to make it harder to kind of isolate what's working from a messaging standpoint. So starting with images is typically what I recommend, and then layering on video, because that's going to get you into different placements, different auctions. But when it comes to like what I call the perfect ad image, there are really six things that I want to see. So we can go through each of these. So number one is people, and ideally people looking at the camera. So, you know, we as humans, like we connect with faces, we're drawn to faces. So if you can get people looking at the camera, that's great. Number two would be limited to no text. So Facebook really prefers, you know, images with limited text. They actually used to have like a 20% text rule where you couldn't have more text. They did away with that rule, but still, images with limited text tend to do better. Diagonal lines is number three. So these are like the little psychological tricks. Your image, it's all about stopping the scroll. That's the job of your creative. It's to get someone who's scrolling through Facebook to stop and say, hey, what is this? And so things in your image, such as diagonal lines, whether it's like something in the background or literally someone with their arm, you know, out like this. And then number four, which is increasing contrast, little tricks like that just make it more eye-catching in the newsfeed and increase your likelihood of grabbing someone's attention and stopping the scroll.
Interesting. So when you say contrast, like what the person is wearing versus their background, or like the contrast of the photo versus the mini feed?
I mean, literally like increasing the contrast of the image itself by like 10%, like literally like editing the image to just like increase contrast or saturation.
Interesting.
But it also works with the actual content of the photo. So for example, like we had a client recently, like give us these creatives that were all like blue and white. And I was like, this is going to disappear inside of, you know, Facebook. So, you know, you want things that are going to stand out, and often you can iterate, like if you're using, say it's a graphic instead of an actual like photograph, you know, if you have a creative that's working well, you know, and it's got like a green background, try an orange background, try a yellow background. Like, you know, you can often get a lot of legs out of something that worked just by making tweaks to keep it fresh. So number five is non-standard image sizes. So, you know, using, an image that's like, you know, maybe like a little like tall and skinny or whatever, just things that are different. Like, this is all about just like things that are different and are going to stand out.
The mini feed.
And then the last one is the most important, which is you want your ad image to be what I call native aspirational. Okay, so let me break down what this means. So by native, I mean something that looks native to the platform. It looks like something that a real person would post on Facebook, right? And then aspirational means that it's speaking to the subtle psychology of what your prospect is looking to achieve. So I'll give you an example. So one of my longtime clients, he sells education around, you know, lead generation and marketing to typically like more beginner business owners. So, you know, a lot of, you know, people who are just getting into real estate or insurance or network marketing, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so funny enough, our best creatives for him are more often than not like literally vacation photos of him and his family. And we pair those with like long form story ads, about his journey and then, you know, anyone with a call to action to his webinar. And they work so well because what is his prospect trying to achieve? They're trying to create success in their business so that they can go on more vacations with their family. Yep. Another example would be, you know, if you're selling dog training, you know, services or courses, you know, your creative should probably be, you know, someone walking with, you know, a nice happy dog, you know, healing right by their side. Yeah. You know, so it's really this idea of, you know, not posting something that screams ad. Mm-hmm. You know, you want your ads to feel very native. You want someone to feel like they just stumbled upon this post that's super helpful and valuable and, you know, and whatnot. And, you know, and so using like, you know, these kind of native aspirational type of images, these personal images, are very, very effective. So that's the image side. And then we've got video. So, you know, once you've got some, your messaging a little bit more dialed in, you know, you've hit on some ad copy that works, then you want to take that proven ad copy and start to introduce video to the mix. It's going to, like I said, it's going to get you into different auctions. It's going to, you know, allow you to, you know, access the, you know, inventory in the newsfeed that Facebook is reserving for video. Mm-hmm. And so just a few kind of quick things on what to think about with your videos. So first is what I already said of focus on authenticity over production value. You do not need a camera crew. You do not need, you know, fancy editors. You literally need you with your iPhone and, you know, a quiet space. like it does not need to be intense. Like selfie style, like iPhone videos are often the best performers. And that's what a lot of our clients use. And then you can, you know, get an online tool to help you, you know, overlay captions or, you know, whatever, and do, you know, very simple editing. But authenticity is really far more important than production value. And often too high of production value can kind of work against you and cause you to lose trust.
Freaking thank you so much. I wish if any of my clients are listening out there, please take it from Dorothy. If you won't listen to me, I preach this all the time. I'm like, people are so over this, like overly edited, Photoshopped everything, especially with like food. We do a lot of hotels, things like that. Like yeah. They want to see the real deal, like what they're actually going to experience when they get to your resort or when, you know, like people are done with this fake stuff. Authenticity is where it's at. Thank
totally.
You.
So in the last couple, always captions. So that is the one piece of editing you do need to do because 85% of video on social is watched without sound. So captions, and then the third one would be, you know, recording your intro separately from the rest of the video. And the reason you do this is so that you can record multiple hooks. So, one that like when our clients record ad videos for us, we'll literally give them like four or five different hooks of like opening kind of, you know, we typically open with a question, You know, so it's like, you know, whatever it might be, like, you know, if we're doing marketing training, it's like, you know, are you struggling to get leads for your business? You know, whatever. And we'll have like four or five different hooks and just, you know, splice out that first few seconds to take one, you know, essentially one video, but then we'll get four or five different versions that we can test. And then similarly, when a, you know, really successful creative, video creative for you fatigues, you don't need to kill the whole thing. Just optimize and, you know, put something new in those first couple of seconds so that you're going to pull in new people and then keep what's working, you know, after that.
Oh my God, freaking genius. This is why they pay you the big bucks. Awesome. Okay. So that's image and video. What about copy? I know that like, this is a thing we focus a lot on about strategic copy and even going back and checking. I mean, I definitely think that there's power in copywriting.
Oh yeah. I would say it is the biggest, you know, well, I mean, creative is super, super important, but you know, copy is really, you know, critical. And I think there's a couple things, like if you are writing your own copy, just a couple things to keep in mind, because you don't need to be a writer. Like being a copywriter is very different from like, you know, the types of writing that you did in, you know, in high school or college or whatever. And it's all about the first piece is like, write like you talk. You know, I think people they think that their copy needs to be fancy. You know, I got to use big words and you literally want to write like you're talking to a third grader. There's a tool actually out there. I'm pretty sure it's called Hemingway, where you can actually plug in your copy and it'll give you like a score on readability. And you know, you really want to pay attention to that because, you know, it needs to be something that people can quickly skim, that's readable, that, you know, writing like you talk is definitely the biggest unlock. And one great way to, you know, see if you've done this successfully and if you have a good ad is to actually read it out loud. I always 100% of the time, like, you know, when our copywriter is writing, he will always, like, before he finalizes a piece of copy, he will literally read it out loud to make sure it flows, to make sure that it has good readability. And then the last kind of, you know, the big piece with effective copy is that you want to be clear, not clever. And this is like keep this in your head, clear, not clever, clear, not clever. Because again, people think that they need to use like fancy wordsmithing. No, you want like what I'll often do when I read someone's copy, if I'm, you know, giving them feedback is like, I'll read the copy and then I'll ask them the question of like, all right, what are you really trying to say here?
Yeah.
And when you ask that question, they're going to parrot it back to you in the most simple form. Language. And then the answer is like, all right, great. Well, say that.
Yeah.
Like, literally say that.
You know? I always say simple sells, complicated repels. Yeah. Like get to the freaking point, you know, you get 3 seconds, if that, to like capture somebody, especially on social. And if you're just like making it all no, quit trying to sound smart. Just like shoot me straight.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
What do you think about like breaking up paragraphs? You know how we break it up with like emojis for bullet points. Yep.
Yeah. Like we rarely have more than one sentence, like without a line break. You know, cause it's all about letting the ad flow. And this is the last piece that I'll say about, you know, copy and making sure you have good ads is you want to let each section of the ad do its specific job. Here's what I mean by that. So when someone is scrolling through Facebook, the thing that's going to grab their eye and get them to stop the scroll is your creative. It's that image or the video, right? So that's why it's so important that is eye-catching. Once someone looks at your creative or your video, the next place the eye is typically going to travel is to your headline. And so that's why you don't want to waste the real estate of your headline with something like, you know, 30% off, like, you know, 30% off, whatever. Like the job of your headline is to get someone to say, oh yeah, this is for me. Right. So, you know, your headline should really be calling out your avatar and getting them excited enough that they're going to then go up and read the first line of your ad.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we kind of follow this, it's like, all right, well, what's the job of the first line of your ad copy? it's not to get them to buy the product or to, you know, purchase a ticket to the resort. It's to get them to read the second line. The job of the second line is to get them to read the third line. Like, you want people to flow through your ad because, you know, by the time they get to the end, if they're engaged and you've written, you know, effective, clear copy, by the time they get to the end of the ad, then they're going to be motivated to click. And then once they click, it's the job of your funnel and your website to actually make that sale. So that's what you want to focus on, like letting each section of the ad do its job and, you know, really letting things flow in that way.
Oh my gosh. That's so interesting. I love this like psychological stuff of like, how do we get people to buy stuff? It's mm-hmm. definitely psychological, not just showing them the need, but making them feel seen. Like you said, like to where they feel so seen where it's like, are you a 35-year-old woman who owns a marketing and public relations agency? Like I am. Like 100%. Hitting yeah. so hard like that, where you're just like, how did they know it was me? You know, yeah. that's so
you want awesome. To be able to speak. You want to be able to articulate the thoughts in your prospect's head better than they can even articulate it themselves. Yeah. You nailed it.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all this free advice for everybody listening out there. Like you just received thousands of dollars worth of free advice from this woman. Dorothy, tell us first, if people want to connect with you after this, what's the best way to connect with you? And then I know we have another little something else you want to share yeah. about the project you're working on.
For sure. So, if you want to reach me, you can find me on Facebook, Dorothy Hollabaugh, on Instagram, Dorothy Holla, H-O-L-L-A. Hit me up, would be more than happy to talk with you. And then, I actually launched a new company about a month ago, which is specifically to help freelancers. So if you're freelancing in marketing, whether it's doing PR, paid traffic, graphic design, you know, social, you know, any of these things, we publish a daily free newsletter to help you to, you know, more effectively work with clients, grow your business, and really profit from high leverage, high income online skills. So if you're a freelancer or you know freelancers, you can go to thegig.io and subscribe there.
Sweet. Okay. So I'm not a freelancer, but I do get the newsletter and I love reading the stuff. Valuable info. Even if you're in the industry, it's just valuable info, you know? So I got my team to sign up for it as well. So check out The Gig. It's totally awesome. I read The Gig, I read Morning Brew, and that's about all I have time for.
Yep. I'm The Gig and Hustle.
There you go. I get like my regular news from Morning Brew, and then I get my industry news from you. So, Dorothy. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate it. I love learning from, other experts and just talking it out loud. And hopefully this has been valuable for everybody listening.
It was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you thought the info was beneficial, it would mean so much if you take a quick second to write us a review and share it on social media. If you have a question about a topic or a specific industry you want to learn more about, reach out to us on Socialese, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And you can also find me personally, The Whitney Lee, on Instagram. We are excited to connect with you and help you make your business more socially relevant.